Hey everyone, welcome back to Sprint Race. My name is Emma Ridgway and today we are talking about the opening race of the Formula E season. Now, the season kicked off last week in Mexico City, and if you recall, I had Gracie Ross, a fellow Formula E journalist, here on the show, in which she correctly predicted the winning team. She did say it was going to be Antonio Felix da Costa. In the end, it was his teammate Pascal Wehrlein who won the race in Mexico City. I'm very happy to say that we have another guest on the show today, someone who was in the paddock for the opening race of the season. Her name is Helena Hicks, and she is the founder of the Females in Motorsport channel. You've probably heard of the channel. They do a huge amount of work advocating and talking about the women who work across the motorsport industry. She was doing some amazing work in Mexico City for her channel and for Formula E as well. She talks a little bit about that today, and she also gives her prediction on the champion for the upcoming season as well. She's got some really good stories to share, so without further ado, let's talk to Helena Hicks. So we are joined by Helena Hicks. Welcome to the podcast. Helena Hicks is the founder of the incredible channel Females in Motorsport. They do amazing work highlighting women who work across the motorsport industry. You were doing exactly that this weekend at the Mexico E-Prix. How was it being in the paddock?
Unbelievable. Everything about it was incredible from start to finish. I didn't want it to end. In fact, we stayed until they removed us from, not physically, but he told us to go home from Emotion Club.
That would be very non. That wouldn't be very Formula E.
Emissions Club.
I wouldn't. So you were in the paddock for the opening race of the Formula E season. Tell me what were you doing in the paddock? What brought you over to Mexico last weekend?
Yeah, so over the past few months, we've been having some really good conversations with Formula E about how we can collaborate and make some brilliant content about the amazing women that they have working in the championship.
There's a lot of women that work in the championship.
So many. Literally every single sector, every single department, every single role, there is female representation, which is just so good to see. And as you know, this year is the 10th season of Formula E. Mm-hmm. So to celebrate that, we are doing video content and long form interviews with 10 women of Formula E from a variety of different roles, from catering and show car management to insights,
just amazing,
and events and graphic design. So we will have something for everybody, and the aim will just to be to showcase as many roles and also hopefully inspire lots of people.
Amazing. You were also last weekend taking part in the newly launched FIA Girls on Track program.
Yeah.
How was that and what did you do?
Yeah, so Formula E has relaunched the FIA Girls on Track program for this year with a commitment that will see them present at every single race on the calendar, which is fantastic.
That was amazing.
And as part of this, Manvi, also from Females in Motorsport, who lives in New York.
I know.
Amazing.
Bad.
And myself and two employees from Formula E, Julia, who is the Vice President of Sustainability, mm-hmm. And Cara, who works in partnerships, gave a career talk, a discussion to the more senior girls that were there.
Mm-hmm.
It was brilliant. They were so engaged. They asked so many great questions about what our roles involved, what our favorite memories were, highlights. But I think what was clear is that Formula E has welcomed us in such a lovely way that I've never experienced in another championship. Trusted us to create content with their employees and given us the most amazing access. So big shout out.
My experience in the Formula E paddock has only ever been enormously positive.
Yeah.
You've been in a number of different paddocks before. I believe this was your first time in the Formula E paddock.
Yeah.
How does it compare being in the Formula E paddock from some of the other places that you've been to, but also, you know, the sport itself, the way that everybody was? What did you think?
Some key takeaways from the week was that no matter what sort of ticket you have to that event, is that you will have an amazing time.
Mm.
The activations that they put on in the fan zone and the activities available to some of the brands will do big builds. So ABB had like a robotics arm.
Oh wow, I just did the demonstration.
I knew exactly what you were talking about just from that arm. So well done, ABB.
Thank you.
You've well done, met ABB. Your target audience right there.
Nissan had a two-story build at the paddock, and Fanzone was like music, food. There was something for everybody there.
Yes.
Food, the beverages that they were offering, the performances, DJ sets, the music sets they had after the race. The Formula E paddock itself was
beautiful.
Emotion Club is probably my favorite hospitality I've ever been in.
Oh, the Emotion Club with its amazing pink carpet.
It was beautiful, like covered in plants, and it had sort of LED lights that I forgot what it said on it, but it had a sign on it. And little like door hatches. You press the button, 5 seconds later, margarita.
My God, that's a dream. It feels like that entire place was made for you, but actually it was made for the race. And
yeah,
I feel like every single race that Formula E goes to, they do put a huge amount of effort in trying to make it local, local suppliers, contractors. It's a local experience at the end of the day. They want to get the fans in. And this weekend, it was an enormous success. Like, it was a complete sellout. Did you get to go in the stadium section at all?
So not during the race, but on Thursday, we walked up to Forestall just to see what it was like. And it took my breath away. It's such an iconic piece of motorsport track, I guess.
Yeah.
That stadium is amazing. And you could hear the crowd on race day. They were so vibrant and so excited, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Formula E is in their city. The Mexicans are crazy about motorsport now. They are so vocal. At the podium, everybody is chanting, Mexico, Mexico.
It was phenomenal. Amazing. You were there for Females in Motorsport.
Yeah.
Did you get to watch a lot of the on-track action?
So, yes, we actually managed to watch everything from a couple of different locations.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what.
We watched Usain Bolt's 0-60 run from grandstand, so the pit straight grandstand, which is on the opposite side,
mm-hmm.
to the pit building.
That was cool. Yeah. I've never seen him with my own eyes. I'm extremely jealous that you saw Usain Bolt.
Tall.
I'm
like, I know he's
sprinter,
but like really tall. and then we watched FP1. I can't believe I'm even saying this still, from the Jaguar TCS Racing Garage.
Wow. I'm saying wow. I do know that you were in the Jaguar TCS Racing Garage because I saw you on TV.
Oh no,
you were at the back of the garage. As Mitch Evans was getting in the car. I didn't know that you were there, by the way. I tuned in. I wanted to watch it. Mitch was getting in the car, and there you were. There's my friend. And I did see you at the podium very, very briefly as well. So you did make...
covered in champagne.
Yes, you did make a lot of appearances.
Not intentionally.
No.
Trust me, if it was my way, I wouldn't have been nowhere near the cameras.
I mean, you were front row, so...
Yeah, I wasn't happy. I did mention that several times. Mm-hmm. It's like, can I please stand behind? They're like, yeah, but you won't be able to see. And
you can't. Yeah. You're quite a small person, so... Yeah.
Be at the front. Watching the race from the garage was... Watching the race from the garage, watching FP1 from the Jaguar TCS Racing Garage was something that I'll never forget. It was an amazing experience to be able to hear what the team and driver are saying to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Just to hear the line of communication. It was the first time that Nick Cassidy has driven that car in a practice environment.
For Jaguar,
For Jaguar. It was great to see. And I will never forget that experience.
It looked amazing. It must have been good to see Nick Cassidy get out of that car after his first ever practice session for Jaguar TCS Racing. You were there when that happened. What did you feel like the general feeling was in the team during that session, after that session?
Yeah, I think obviously don't want to surmise and give too much interjection, but from what we could hear on the radio, because, you know, we could hear the comms, I think Mitch was kind of as cool as a cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
He's driven that car, in the Gen 3 car with Jag, and he kind of knows what to expect. The team, the dynamic, I think they've got the relationship down to T. With Nick Cassidy, it's obviously a lot more of a learning experience. it's brand new team, you know, there's different setups and different ways of working. And it was great to hear how many questions he was asking, how the team were asking him questions as well to make sure that he was comfortable, and that Nick was ultimately able to extract best out of the car in that situation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's great. Great start to the season with Jaguar TCS Racing for Nick, P3.
Yeah, podium.
Yeah, team also got fastest after the weekend, the race, sorry, and a P5. So, solid start.
Amazing. You were at the race, the final race of last season.
Yeah.
The race went down to the wire. It was settled on the Saturday, but you know, for the weekend as a whole, it was a very, very tight season. This season, it feels to me, you know, it will be a bit of a battle between two manufacturers, possibly the, you know, the Porsche and their two teams with Andretti and Porsche themselves, and with Jaguar and Jaguar TCS Racing and Envision. What are your thoughts on the season in terms of who's going to go down to the wire? Who's going to be the champion? I don't want to make you choose a particular driver, but, you know, you were there. Mm. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, this is the beauty of Formula E, is that it's so close. We went into London, it could have been anyone.
I think it was four drivers.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, it did go down to the final race weekend, which doesn't happen in a lot of championships. I would be mad if I was to try and predict a championship winner for season 10.
I think you should do it right now. I think we'll get your prediction and then we'll remind you of it at the end of the season.
Look, okay.
Mm-hmm.
My head is saying Pascal.
Oh, interesting.
My heart saying Mitch. Yeah.
Mm.
What about you?
Okay, no one's asked me yet. Thank you.
Well, done it now.
Okay, I'm being put on the spot right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. thank you so much, Lena. I think it needs to be Jaguar because they
come so close so many times now.
Yes, as Mitch especially has come very, very close. I think they just need the stars to align. They have probably the best team plus car plus driver plus powertrain. The recipe is...
Wait a minute. Are you saying that Mitch is the best driver on the Formula E grid?
I think he's probably the one that is the unluckiest not to be a champion of the current lineup. I think of all the drivers that are there right now, if I look at them and I think who isn't a current champion should be a current champion, to me it's Mitch Evans, probably followed closely by Pascal Wehrlein, just after how he started last season. And then it was actually in Berlin in his home race when he had that terrible weekend, and then he kind of dropped off from there. So I completely get why you've chosen both of those drivers. I think the stars have to align, and interestingly that Nick Cassidy was the one on the podium on Saturday.
I mean, I don't think it was ever in doubt that Nick Cassidy is a fantastic driver, a great sportsman, and an excellent ambassador for any team that he's representing. I think people just were expecting it to be Mitch if it was that third place podium up for grabs, but no, fair play to Nick.
I think it was the first time you were on the grid on Saturday.
Yeah.
What was it like seeing the cars up close? You've obviously been to a few races before.
Yeah.
This is the closest you've ever been to a Formula E car and to the experiences of it. So what was that like?
The grid is just an amazing experience. Whatever championship you're in is always special. You're around the athletes that are about to get in. And, you know, it's make or break for them. Mm-hmm. And for the teams as well, the flurries of final preparation and the anticipation is building. You've got presenters everywhere, photographers everywhere. You're trying not to get run over by tires or like jacks or just any other equipment. So, yeah, that's always fun. But they are things of beauty, Formula E cars. I think, obviously, they're smaller than F1 cars, but they're still beautiful single-seaters.
Mm.
The way that, you know, they have lights on, the different elements that kind of stick out, I guess, on a Formula E car, if that's fair to say. But no, the grid was great. Females and Motorsport actually recorded a quick video on there. We took short snippets of sort of the women that we spotted on the grid.
Mm-hmm.
That went down really well on social because there is a lot of women on the Formula E grid.
I saw that one of the women on the Formula E grid is a Females in Motorsport alumni. as well.
Yes.
We've got quite a few who have worked with you on your channel.
Yeah.
And now work in Formula E.
Yeah, we've got three from the current Formula E roster, I guess. So Alexa, presenter, content creator. Bloody, you're mad to say that. Amazing.
Yeah.
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 Bloody amazing.
Bloody amazing.
We've got Georgina, who works in comms, McLaren, FE team. Again, brilliant. And then we've also got Holly, who gets an extra shout out. She's one of my best friends. She works in social at McLaren. So yeah, it was such a cool moment to be able to see her in particular on the grid.
It's always nice.
Immensely proud.
So proud.
I cried.
Oh, you cry. You know,
I cried at Toy Story 3.
Who doesn't cry at Toy Story 3?
Yeah.
Which race this season are you looking forward to seeing?
One of them. No. I love Diria because it's a night race.
Mm-hmm.
I also love Formula E as this disruptive championship that is changing the face of motorsport and how things are, you know, happening in Diria. It's making a statement, and you know, Formula E is a purpose-led championship, which is great. Excited for Japan. Tokyo will be amazing. I'm excited for Sao Paulo.
Yes. Brazil. And I'd like to go to Brazil.
Monaco is always special, racing around streets in Monaco.
Yeah,
it's very steeped in history.
Yeah. Monaco is amazing.
You've been there, you've experienced it twice?
Yes, twice. It'll be the first race that I get to this season, unless I can find a way to Tokyo. Just volunteering myself.
Hint, hint.
To the world.
Wink, wink.
Of people going to Tokyo. If you need anyone just to carry a bag, hold a microphone. I'm here. Otherwise, I will be in Monaco, and then I'll be in Berlin as well. I will be in Berlin for the first time.
I really want to go to.
One of the things I love about Berlin is that it's an old airport. Of course you do.
Yeah.
For the record, Helena is an enormous aviation nerd. I'll never forget the time we were having lunch in the park and you opened flight radar and told me every single plane that was going over.
I don't know what overhead.
Yeah. I have it vividly remembered in my mind. It is on an old airfield. That doesn't mean that there will be planes there, I'm afraid.
My friend also used to spend sort of the week and weekends roller skating on the tarmac there. Can you roller skate? The ones that are a four, not the inline ones, but the square ones. Yeah, I used to be quite good. I made it to going backwards, but then I did fall in my bum.
I can't roller skate. So
I think we should, you know, like knee pad, elbow pad drivers up, put a helmet on, and maybe they should do a bit of a roller blade derby.
There we go. Social media managers, if you're watching, we've just come up with a brand new activation: the Formula E. Formula. Rollerblading rally down Tempelhof Airport. I think I'm calling it. We should do that. Monaco first, and then Berlin, and then London. I love that. By the time I get to Monaco, the last few seasons, it's been really nice because a lot of the season has already happened.
Yeah.
The drivers are settled. There's a fairly good idea of who the contenders are as well.
Yeah.
This was just the season opener, but I feel like by the time we get to Monaco, it you know, everyone feels comfortable, and so the drivers are more relaxed. A lot of them are home, so they're all just like, I'm just gonna just go home. And I feel like it's quite a nice atmosphere. So if you haven't been to Monaco, I would highly recommend going to the race. And then Berlin,
very tempting me,
please do. Honestly, it is to me it's like my favorite race of the year.
And I know we shouldn't compare Formula E to other championships, not main any names, it is a lot more accessible and affordable with the tickets.
Yeah.
And of course, because perhaps they don't get quite the same crowds, hotels are cheaper, flights are cheaper, you know, there's not the same inflation like that another weekend we'll see. So if you want to go to Monaco, you want to watch some amazing racing with so many overtakes around Monaco.
Yes. Was last year
100 or something?
Yeah,
am I making that up?
I know that there was a lot. Don't ask the specific number, but I know that that's okay. There was a lot of overtaking. I just remember the poster being like, "Oh, you can't overtake in Monaco." Well, welcome to Formula E.
Welcome to Formula E.
It should be an amazing season.
Yeah.
Final thoughts before we wrap up on season 10 of Formula E.
I'm excited. Both from Females in Motorsport perspective, the content that we'll bring you and that we're producing and the memories to make. and also just to enjoy it as a fan. For a very long time, I didn't give Formula E the chance it deserved. Again, as like we've discussed, I did compare it to other championships. But you just need to embrace it with open arms, and you just need to just welcome it, approach it, watch it, listen to it. It's going to be good.
I haven't met a single person who's been to a race and left not loving it. And I mean loving it. It is something that once you go, you just become obsessed with it.
Hopefully we'll have you back
again at some point in the season.
Live one from Berlin.
If we end up going to Berlin together, then we will do a live, this is a promise, we will do a live recording from Tempelhof Airport with or without rollerblades. That is entirely up to you. I won't be in rollerblades because no one needs to see me in rollerblades. It'll be very, very accident prone.
Cool.
And hopefully there'll be some planes going overhead. Maybe you can tell everyone where that flight has been going to. But yeah, let's do it.
I was doing that in Mexico.
Of course you are. Right next to me.
Oh, I saw the plane. I saw the planes landing and I was like, you are going to be so happy.
I love this so much. Yeah, I did think of you.
Yeah.
Helena Hicks, founder of Females in Motorsport. Cannot wait to see the articles that you've written being published throughout the entirety of this season. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Emma.